The following talk is by Stephen Chu, Secretary of Energy, on August 10, 2009, at the Nevada Clean Energy Summit, recorded by NewEnergyTimes.com.
Thank you, Senator Worth. The United States has an incredible opportunity. We have to have a second industrial revolution. The first industrial revolution gave us power that could relieve us of human labor and animal labor. But it came with a cost, and we only realized in the last couple of decades what that cost was. Well, there are many costs, but certainly the carbon dioxide cost. So in the next industrial revolution, we're going to have to develop technologies that will enable us to get the energy we need to grow and prosper, for the entire developing world to grow and prosper, but would greatly reduce, essentially reducing and eliminating the carbon dioxide. If you look at what the United States has, it has unarguably the greatest research and development centers in the world in our universities, our national labs, and in the private sector. And so once we get this great innovation machine geared and going, we would be invincible. But the only trouble is, let's get it going. So in that respect, I just came back from China 3 weeks ago, and China has realized, number one, the price of oil a couple decades from today will be considerably higher. Number two, and they're now importing 60% of their oil. Number two, we will be living in a carbon-constrained world. From the premier of China on down, they said, this climate change is very, very serious. If we do business as usual, the effects would be devastating to China, devastating to the world. Therefore, we have an opportunity to lead in the industrial revolution. And they are gearing up. These are becoming almost protected industries. They are trying to catch up with Vestas and GE and wind turbines. They are going heavily into solar. They are leading the world now in the highest voltage transmission, both AC and DC. And you might be suspicious and say, oh, this is for export. It's business as usual. No. Actually, much of this is for internal consumption. And they have decided that we have to go there, but why not be the leader? Now, quite frankly, the United States is still ahead of China. And why don't we be the leader? So if we move in this direction, we can be the leader and seize the opportunity. If we don't, and just try to say, no, we're not really sure this is all happening, maybe the price of oil will go back to $30 a barrel. Maybe the climate isn't really changing. This is just wishful thinking, and it's just throwing away those great opportunities. So, in terms of renewables, whether it be wind, solar, geothermal, enhanced geothermal, many, many opportunities. We can really take the leadership role in this. It's a remarkable thing, but you have to send first a long-term signal to the people in the United States, to industry, that says, yes, we're going to have a cap on our carbon, and we're going to ratchet it down. Yes, we're going to promote all of those, if you don't mind my venturing a little bit into efficiency, because that is going to be the lowest hanging fruit for the next couple of decades. As we build up the renewables, as we have to build up a modern transmission distribution system, the United States has incredible resources in wind, solar, and agricultural resources. The agricultural resources, that plus the electrification of a personal vehicle fleet, I think has incredible promise to just offload our total dependence on importing oil. The opportunity is enormous. In Department of Energy laboratories, in the first 6 months of the establishment of these laboratories, they've taught and reprogrammed yeast and bacteria, if you feed them simple sugar, to turn those sugars not into alcohol, which I personally prefer to drink, but into gasoline and diesel-like fuel. The yields are low, but hopefully in the next 5 years they can up the yield so it'll be comparable to yeast turning to ethanol. Okay? I would be personally very disappointed if 10 years from now this hasn't approached real scale. It'll take 5 years to get it going, pilot it, see if it works, and maybe T. Boone Pickens' gas will make the transition, but I think using agricultural waste and crops grown specifically for energy, there will be no competition between food and fuel. The United States, since 1982, we put 75 million acres out of production. 36 million acres went into a conservation preserve, but the rest were essentially paying farmers, look, we're producing too much. That's a lot of acreage. And so if we can go grasses and very rapidly growing trees that have far less energy inputs, there is an incredible opportunity here. That's something the United States is blessed with so much, and we still have the land, we still have the sun, the water. With climate change, as business as usual, much of our agricultural machinery is at risk. So here's a golden opportunity. The cost of inaction is horrendous, both for our economic prosperity and what climate change can do. But so there are two choices. You know, we grow prosperous, we do the right thing, our children and grandchildren will like us, or we can pretend things aren't happening and wish that we were back in 1950. So it's an incredible opportunity. Thank you, Senator.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. I'm going to...